Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
The Bible talks about demons, different kind of demons, different kind of evil spirit that come and try to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And the Bible talk about we should be in a local church. And a church is like a family. And when we stick together, when we protect one another, when we work together as a team, when we love each other and stand together as one, instead of fighting each other, instead of hating each other, or say, I'm going to do my thing and you do your own things, I don't want to cooperate with you, I'm going to do my own things, we will be able to stand and resist the devil together. Amen. Amen. This movie really, really show us biblical knowledge about being a family, being together, having young believers in the church, having people who are sleeping spiritually and they are very vulnerable to be attacked by the enemy. But we as a church, we need to pray for one another. We need to stand together. Therefore, we should not listen to any voice that come and say, I'm not going to cooperate. I'm going to do my own ways. I'm going to go out and do my own things. We need to stay together, stick together like all these buffaloes. Amen. And no matter how strong the devil or demons or lions and crocodiles, we can stand and overcome the enemy and save so many people. Amen. Amen. You see the lesson from this YouTube story, the movie. Amen. Today, I would like to talk about the church as a family. Everyone say, we are a family. Amen. The Bible compares the church as a family. And God loves His family. He is our Father, and we are His children. And in the church, God delegates authority to certain people to look after the church, to be like a spiritual father, spiritual mother, to look after the children of God. If we look at the situation in the church, which is a spiritual family, we can see the parallel thing or the parallel truth regarding the natural and the spiritual family. And we can apply both sides in the same way regarding family. And I would like to explain to you some truth about family today. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we want to learn about spiritual family today. And we want to see from your scriptures, Lord, what you teach us. And we want to apply what the truth of God revealed in the Bible to us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 31, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Ephesians 5, 22 and 23, wives submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. So God talked about family here. Husband and wife live together, a man and a woman, love one another, get married, and start a family. And they will become one flesh. Talking about commitment, talking about covenant, talking about Christ and the church. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5 said that the things that happen in a natural family between husband and wife and the kids, all these things apply to the relationship between Christ and His church. So the church is a family of God. According to the scripture here, we can see that the church is like a family. And the family contains the issue called commitment, which means that a husband and wife come together and support one another, love one another, encourage one another, be for one another, to build one another up, exhort one another, taking care of one another. The church, the same thing, is a commitment that when we come into the family of God, we are not coming to a movie theater. We are not coming to a hotel that we come and eat and then have good time and sleep on the bed and then get up and everyone else clean up the bed. But it's a family that we need to take care of one another. We need to have a commitment toward one another. Amen. I commit to you, you commit to me. I commit to my wife, Pastor Da, and she commits herself to me. The same thing in the church. God wants commitment. God doesn't want us to just be loose Christian, floating around from place to place to place. God wants us to make a choice. What church we're going to join? What family we're going to be in? I have only one natural family. I will go back home, cold weather or hot weather, no matter what, I will be there. I will be available. I will be there to serve and to be a part of the church. That is commitment. Amen. God wants us to learn to commit to one another. Many times, young ladies ask me in the church, or ask Pastor Da, what kind of man I should marry to? And I don't talk about handsome man. I'm not talking about good-looking man. I say, you're looking for a man who fear God, who really commit his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and commit his life to a local church. Because if you can find a man that commit his life to Jesus and to the local church, he will commit his life to you. And he will not divorce you easily. He will not just dump you off of his life, because he learned to commit his life to Jesus Christ. All the ladies say amen. Amen. So don't look for the good looking guy. Look for a committed man. Looking for a man who commit to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the local church. Amen. A man with commitment. A man who have integrity in life. Amen. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is not a temporary thing. It's a lifelong, eternal relationship. The same thing in the church. We're going to be family until we go to heaven and live for eternity in heaven together. I don't know what can happen in heaven, but I guess maybe our home may be close to each other. Because we are in the same clan. The clan of New Hope International Church. So I can find you easily. Your waterfront home in heaven may be close to my waterfront home. I can go to your home and knock on the door and we can talk. Amen. Because God still loves us and he wants us to fellowship in heaven. Amen. It's an eternal commitment. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2. I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promise you to one husband to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. Again, talking about jealousy here. Talking about commitment again. When the Bible used the word jealousy for God, it means that he is so concerned that we fall into sin and forget about him. It's not a bad jealousy. It's not like a typical man and woman that are jealous to one another. But it's about God have a broken heart when we fall into sin. In fact, yesterday, I and Pastor Da spent time all day here to look at watch the Truth Project. And I want to recommend everyone to go through that project. The Truth Project is so wonderful to learn about foundation of Christianity. And one thing that I cry, you know, yesterday I watched the DVD show. The last one, my heart is just broken. Tears came out from me and I pray. Because the teacher showed that from the beginning of America, that the pilgrims came here with the purpose to spread the gospel. And I think, as I recall, 47 or 48 people died in that winter time. That's why we have Thanksgiving. You know, they died. And people asked them, are you going back to England in order to survive? And they say, we are not going back to England because we come here with a purpose, is to preach the gospel. And they stay and they survive. After that, in America, everything in the law talk about God, God, God. Our constitution have to be God inside. Until around 1897 or something, 98, I don't remember the detail. What happened is that one of the dean of university, which start as a Christian university, believe in Darwinism. And start to pull in the professor who don't believe in God. And after that, the law in America kicked God out. Everything else, no God. Everything in America, no God anymore. America has forgotten God. We should not do that. Amen. We should have a commitment. No matter what, we're going to believe in God. We're going to follow God, and we're going to commit ourselves in a local church. You saw the YouTube a while ago, that movie, Battle of Krugers. If we stay together, the devil cannot destroy us. But if we are a loner Christian out there, you notice that at the beginning of the movie, these two buffalo came by themselves with the young baby. I believe that if they stuck together as a group and walk together as a group, the lions cannot run toward them and try to catch that baby. But because they came as separate, two or three with the baby. The same thing, we need to stay together, making a commitment, and we're going to stick together in the local church. Amen? Not only about commitment. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 127 verse 3, sons are the heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. The Bible talks about children in a family. In a family, after we get married, God gives you a reward to have kids, to have babies and children. And God said that children are rewards for the family. And the same thing in the church. After we start a church, God will begin to bring in new converts. People accept the Christ. People join in to be like a young believers in the church. I remember we started a church in 1988 in the basement of our home, long time ago. We started with about maybe 5 people in the basement of our home in 1988. And months after months, year after years, people got saved again and again, coming to the church, little by little. And the church keep growing and growing, move from one place to another place. So I and Pastor Da have a lot of spiritual children all these years. We begin to see more children come in, and some of them grow up to be adult spiritually. Some of them start to serve God. Some of them turn to be a pillar in the church and become a pastor and missionaries and go out to do many things. But the Bible talks about children in the house or in the family this way. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 6. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Proverbs 29 verse 17. Discipline your son, and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. In a natural family, we need to teach. We need to train. We need to discipline our kids so that when they grow up, they will not bring shame to the parents. When our kids full of wisdom of God, they'll serve God, they'll love God, they are not doing bad things. It will bring peace and joy to the parents. Amen. I thank God that my kids are doing really well. All of them love God and really obedient. We have good children. Because Pastor Da and I obey the word of God. We always teach them. We always talk to them and train them. We never miss church on Sunday. We always bring our children to church on Sunday to learn about God. And they keep growing up to be better and better person. And the same thing in the local church. We have spiritual children. And you are spiritual children. In fact, all of us should feel like we are children all the time, if we want to last to the end. Amen. I am still a child of God. Amen. I may grow more than certain people spiritually, but I'm still a child of God. And in the process of taking care of children, we need to teach them. We need to train them. We need to discipline them when people make mistakes or sin against God. The church has the responsibility to warn, to correct, to talk to that person so that he will repent as soon as possible. The church has responsibility as together, not me, you too. We all have responsibility to take care of young believers in the church. You take care of them spiritually, take care of them physically, take care of them mentally. And that's why we have the CD ministry. We put out the CD that people can borrow for free, or you can even take home and keep it if you want to. We want to educate you. We have classes this afternoon. The Spanish group will have class for the Spanish-speaking people. We have care groups. We have gathering together to learn the Bible. The men group come together to encourage one another. The ladies care group on Thursday at Pastor Da's house. We have lady care group come together and they build one another up. They encourage one another. We have youth group because we want to see the youth people in our church get trained, get taught, and get corrected if they do wrong. We want them to be successful. We want them to know Jesus, and they will become a servant of God. Amen. The Bible says that we all are children of God. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, you are all sons, and I want to add, daughters of God, through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Therefore, our church set up sometime a seminar. We set up yesterday. Actually, I was so thankful that I came to the Truth Project. I talked to Pastor Da yesterday. It really changed my life after I watched those DVD. Yesterday, I was so touched. And I talked to Pastor Da. If I sat at home watching TV or going out shopping, I gained nothing anyway. But because I sat under the Word, anointed teaching, Word of God, I came home, I know Jesus more than before. I grow more because I learned something from the Bible. Amen. Amen. So I want to encourage all of you that if possible, don't miss any training class. Don't miss anything that you can learn more from God. Because there's a power of coming together and learn something together. Amen. Sometimes the mentor in the church may call you up and say, can we meet and we can pray together and we can study the Bible together? And you say, yes, please come and meet me and we can study the Bible together. Amen. Because we want you to grow and to become strong Christians. We want to take care of God's people in the church, the children of God. And that is done through the leadership. In Ephesians chapter 4, I read to you. Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. This many, many weeks, all day long, even during surgery, during driving in the car, God showed me that the Lord Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father sitting on the throne. And I heard the voice from heaven all the time, son, mom, can you take care of my church? Can you take care of my children? Can you bring them into the knowledge of God? I want them to know me. I want them to love me. And I say, Lord Jesus, I want to pastor this church. Not because it's a duty to come up and preach on Sunday. Not because I have a position here. It's not my job, actually. It's not my profession. But it's my calling. That I love you, Jesus. I would do everything to help your people to grow up spiritually. Every one of them will grow spiritually to become strong Christian. And the Lord spoke to me. Can you do me one thing? Can you make sure that my people will be washed by the Word of God and by the fire of God? That there will be a beautiful bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be prepared to meet me when I come back. And I'll say back to the Lord, yes, Lord, I will do that for you. And this is not happening one time. It's happened all day long. I heard the voice of God. And sometimes I was performing operation and my tears come out. Because I say, Jesus, I loved you. And I would do anything for your church so that your church will be strong. And the Lord Jesus spoke to me. I love my church. I love my people. I want them to come back to me. I want them to be holy and pure and righteous and anointed and strong and fruitful. And I want to bless them. Can you help me? God delegated his authority to the pastor, to the leadership in the church. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping. Everyone say equipping. The church has the responsibility to equip you, to train you, to teach you, to correct you of the things for the work of ministry. In other words, all of you need to be minister to serve God. My job is to be a coach to train you. The job of Pastor Caesar, Pastor Tyson, and other leaders and pastors in the church is to train you and equip you for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith. Everyone say unity. Every time the church is broken up into pieces, that people don't like each other, people don't cooperate with one another, I can see that the Lord Jesus Christ was very grieved and sad in heaven. He wanted to see his children to be united together. Amen. Till we come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. The word knowledge here doesn't mean head knowledge. It means you knowing God intimately. This is my prayer every single day. I pray that the members of New Hope International Church will really know Christ intimately. It's like, I know my wife. It's a relationship between you and Jesus Christ. It's not about theology or knowledge, but it's about personal relationship with Christ. The knowledge of the Son of God. To be a perfect man and woman to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is our highest calling, is to become like Christ, to grow up, to become mature Christians. Amen. And I will not back down from this purpose of God in this church. We will do everything to help you to grow, help you to be mature and strong and serve the living God, to have a ministry in your life. Amen. So that is another aspect of the family. I want to talk about that another aspect and then finish and continue next time. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. God said, it's not good for a man to be alone. Amen. But it's good to have a helper suitable for him. God knew that Adam would be in trouble if he lived by himself. I know that. Without Pastor Da, I am in trouble. I need her a lot. Amen. She helped me so much. She helped to balance me out. Sometimes I'm not sensitive to people. She will help me to balance me out. She helped me doing so many things that I cannot do. I can be a successful neurosurgeon and pastor because I have a great wife supporting me. Without her, I cannot make it. I need a helper. In other words, as a human being, we all need help. We need help. We need one another. I mean, in a family, I need Pastor Da and my kids. The same thing in the family of God. We need to help each other. Everyone say, help each other. In Psalm chapter 68, verse 6, the Bible says, God sets the lowly in families. What does it mean? It means that we all need somebody to help us. We cannot be lonely. We cannot be by ourselves on the street. We need somebody to help us. In 1 Timothy 5, 8 say, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So God said that you need to take care of your immediate family first. You need to take care of your wife, your kids, your husband, your immediate family before somebody else. The same thing, we need to take care of the members of our church first. That is our primary responsibility, is to take care of people in the same church. And then we extend our love to outside the church. It's such a blessing to be a member of a local church. Because not only that you will be taken care of, but you also can participate in taking care of other people. Everyone say, responsibility. Yesterday, after we went back home from the class, Joy helped Pastor Da to clean up the kitchen. Paul helped to carry the bucket of clothes. We all help each other. We all help, and then somebody will vacuum the floor. We try to clean up the house. We help each other. The same thing in the family of God here. Don't treat the church as a public place. If you see a piece of paper on the floor, it's not my business. The janitor is going to pick it up. Is the pastor going to pick it up? It's not my problem. No, 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 no. We have responsibility to take care of the building together. Amen. Don't treat this carpet as a public place. You know, I don't care about this carpet. I'm going to just destroy it. They're going to smoke and put something on the carpet and get it destroyed. Somebody pay for it. No, no, no. Or the gum. Chewing the gum. Thank you, Pastor Da. Or chewing the gum and put it on the carpet and destroy the carpet. We need to take care of the property of the church together. We need to take care of the business of the church together. When I say business, I mean the work or the things, the ministry. You know, help each other. We all have responsibility. If everyone get involved, the church will be very healthy and strong. Amen. The book of Romans chapter 12. Let's give hand to God. Amen. Romans chapter 12 verses 10 to 11. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. God said, devote yourself and serving in the church. You need to participate. You need to get involved. Amen. And if you do that, the Bible promised in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you help people and continue to help them. God has good memory. He's not an old man with Alzheimer that he forget everything you are doing for him. He remember everything that you have been doing for God. Even little things that you have been doing for him. Amen. You pick up somebody from their home because they don't have a car. Or maybe you help babysit a family that the mom need to go out and work, have an emergency call to go to work. And you say, I volunteer to babysit for you. Or maybe you see a single mom in the church. Maybe that mom was divorced by her husband and not have enough money to pay certain bill. And you say, I'm going to pay for your electric bill this month for you. I'm going to help you. You help each other, not only the church ministry level, but as a personal level. Maybe somebody is lonely during the Christmas time or Thanksgiving time. And you say, come to my home. I'm going to cook good food for you. I'm going to cook pho for you. I'm going to cook steak for you. Amen. Or jaiyo. Or pad thai for you. Amen. How many people know how to cook sushi? You know how to cook sushi? Can I go to your home? I like to eat sushi. Or maybe you say this way. You see a family in the church that they are lonely. They don't have much. They just get by every month. And your family going to buy gift for your children. You say, I'm going to buy this gift, extra gift for their children as well. Or maybe you go on vacation to Disney World. And you say, come along with me. Come along vacation with me. We'll help each other. We are like a family. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to think this way in the church. We are family. And we're going to support each other. We're going to love one another. Looking. Your eyes are open to look for people who are in need. Looking for people and encourage them and help them. Get involved. You all have talents and abilities. Amen. Say, God, what can I do in this church? Maybe I can help certain things in the church. Even little things, God still reward you if you're faithful enough. Amen. Amen. Everyone say, get involved. Get involved. Responsibilities. So the church is a family that we have commitment. The church is a family that we need to train children of God to be strong and mature. And not only that, we need to take responsibility in the church. Amen. How many people want to do this? I know all of you want to do this. Everyone say, all of us are going to practice this. Because we are the doers of the Word of God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for teaching us your word about the church. Father, thank you, Lord, that we are not alone on earth here. But we have a family, a spiritual family in the church. Lord, we thank you so much for your protection. Thank you, Lord, for training us in the local church. Thank you, Lord, for giving us abilities and gifts to be able to participate and serve and get involved in a local church, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's give hand to the Lord. Amen. I'd like to read a couple of scriptures before I preach the message. Psalm 92, verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. How many people want to be flourished by God? What you need to do, plant yourself in the house of God. Psalm 26, verse 8. I love the house where you live, O Lord. King David say, I love the house of God. I love the church. O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. This morning before I came to church, I prayed to God that, Lord, I don't want just to have a service. I want the glory of the Lord. The presence of God is here to meet His people and to touch His people. Amen. I'm so glad. I look back now in the past 20 years that when God called me and Pastor Da to start the church, I remember we first came to the U.S. and we could not even speak English very well. We really very foreign to this country, culturally, everything, language.
But when God called us to start a church, we responded to His call. And we started a church in the basement of our home with only a few people. And I did not even know how to sing Christian song that much. I did not even know how to preach the Word of God. I just did it out of obedience. We make a decision all these years. Pastor Dan and I, we make a decision that we're going to be in the church. We're going to take our kids to the church. No matter how tough, up and down, we're going to go to church every Sunday. And we're going to commit our life to the local church. And now 20 years. 20 days, it feels like 20 days to me, so fast. 20 years have gone by. And we look back. We look back to our old life. We look back at many families in this church, many couples, husband and wife, who have brought their kids to church all these years. They never give up. And I look back now, I can see that God really blessed these couples and this family. I can see that we really pay off. Our kids really love God and really very obedient, very cooperate. And God bless all this family who come in and get to know the Lord. Amen. So it's pay off when we commit our life to the local church. God will flourish us. I want to let you know that God loved the church so much. God loved the church of God. God loved each and every one of you individually and corporately. Amen. In fact, I told people from last night that even though my physical body was in Orlando last Sunday, we were walking in Disney World with the kids, but oh, my heart was just missing the church so much. I want to be in the house of God. I just miss the church because I know that Jesus loved the church and I want to be around with God's people. Amen. How many people love the church of God? Amen. We love the church. A few Sundays ago, I was talking about the church is like a family. When I got saved and I started to study the Bible, one thing that I make decision as a Christian, I told the Lord that I wanted to become 100% Christian. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be nominal Christian who just say, yes, I believe, but turn around, I was living life wickedly, or I did not practice what I learned from the Bible. I want to practice what I learned from the Bible. I want to do everything the Word of God says in the Bible. And that's my decision. I don't know about you, but that's my decision. I want to practice everything that I learned in the Bible. So when we talk about the Bible, there are so many practical things. And today we're going to talk about practical things in the church. How the church is a family. And I don't want you to just listen to this message as a kind of decoration in your brain, like a furniture. Just decorate your brain and say, oh, it's good, it's good. Preach to me. But I want it to sink into your heart and really go out and practice what you learn. Every Sunday when you come to church, you hear something that God speaks to you specifically for that weekend. You say, God, I will do it. I start to practice this from today on. This principle I will practice. It's going to be my lifestyle. People are going to see me as a living, walking Bible. When people see me, they will see Jesus. They will see that I am the real Christian. I'm not a hypocrite. Amen. We talk about the church is compared to the family. And we learned a few Sundays ago, I want you to get the CD and listen to review. In fact, this morning, Pastor Da turned on the CD of my own preaching. I was sitting there listening to my own preaching. I said, wow, I learned something more today. I did not remember what I said that day, but I think the Holy Spirit was speaking. And I just received and kind of learned and because I love the Word of God so much. Amen. So we learned last time that as a church, as a family, every family, there is one word we call commitment. When I say I do to Pastor Da that day, when we got married many years ago, when I say I do, I make a commitment not to leave her and to stay true and faithful to her all the days of my life. And the same thing in the church. We stay true together. We are committed to one another as a family. Whether up and down, whether somebody make mistake or somebody may kind of fall down, instead of running away from the church and say, oh, you fall, I'm going to run away. You go and pick them up and say, we're going to walk together to the end. Is that the family? The family commit their life together. Amen. Not only that, we learn that family will grow. Family have kids. Grow. I remember 20-something years ago, only I and my wife. And now we have five people in the same family. When we add on also a son-in-law named Brandon. So we add more family in. The same thing in the house of God. We want to see souls saved. We want to see more people come into the kingdom of God. Amen. We want to fill the earth with the spiritual children. Amen. We are spiritual people and we have spiritual children. Not only that, we learn that in the family, everyone has responsibility. We need to help each other. We need to get involved. Helping cleaning the dishes, cleaning the house, and doing different things, and helping one another. So in the church, we should not be a consumer. We should not just come to church and say, bless me, do this thing for me. If you don't have this for me, I'm not going to be around here. You should come to the church with the attitude and mentality that I'm going to come here to serve. I'm going to come here to build. I'm going to come here to contribute. And I want to do something to build this family. Responsibility. Now, I would like to talk more things about family. I'd like to read from Acts chapter 2, verses 44 and 46. All the believers were together. The book of Acts is a model for us to see how God wants to build a church. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claims that any of his possessions was his own, but they share everything they had. What a powerful church in Jerusalem, that people love each other so much that they even sell their lands and share money to help each other in the church, that no one were in lack. No one was in lack in Jerusalem. No one was poor. Everyone have enough food to eat on the table. They were like a family. They love each other. So a family is about relationship and unity. Being in one mind. Being in one together. Do things together. Amen. So I want to encourage all of us that this is not a football stadium. We don't come here to see the show and everyone just leave and disappear. Sometimes I notice that Christians who don't understand the scripture or the Bible, they come to church and they look at the watch. When the service is going to be over, once the service is over, boom, back through the door. They don't know anybody. They don't know anyone's names. They don't associate with anybody. They just come to see the show on the stage. But that is not the heart of God. The heart of God wants the church to be a family. That we have a kind of genuine relationship in the church. We know each other. We know each other's name. And we support one another. We love one another. We need to build that genuine, united relationship in the church. One time, a lawyer who interviewed me for the position, he said that, Dr. Lau, you really stand firm on your ground, huh? And I say that, yes, I am a kind of man with conviction. If I have conviction of something, of the truth in the Bible, I'm not going to back down on it. And I want to tell you, I'm not going to back down on building the church as a family. That the church need to have relationship. People in the church need to know each other and have relationship. That's why we have lunch on Sunday afternoon. To build relationship, we need to make an effort to spend time together. We need to spend time going to care group, meet with one another, go out to shop together or play tennis together or play golf together or something. We need to really build relationship by spending time together in the local church. We need to get involved in the activities and in the ministry. Volunteer in. I want to get involved in the ministry, maybe worship or maybe helping the poor or evangelistic ministry. When you get involved in a group of people, you begin to build relationship with them. You go to care group, you get to know them, you have a chance to talk and build one another up. If somebody get into trouble, you help them, you comfort them. It's a family issue. The church is not just an organization. It's not just a place that people to come in and receive something and then disappear and go home. Amen. In fact, I know that sometimes this is really against our own flesh. Because our own flesh, we want to have our own time and come and disappear and go out of here. But I want to tell you, if you follow the formula of God, like I'm driving the car, a Japanese car, and if I follow the booklet or the manual of that Japanese car, it will work very well. But if I don't follow the manual, I may break the car. The same thing, God wrote the Bible as our manual for our life. And if we follow the biblical principle, even though it may go against our flesh, it will go well with us. It will be a blessing to us if we follow the manual or the instruction of God. And one of the instructions is fellowship, is to really build relationship in the church. One time, I heard a person told me, and when I heard that, I know right away, this person doesn't know the Bible and doesn't understand God's principle. A person said, you know, I don't want to go to a small church because they will know me. I want to go into the big church, thousands of people, and I sneak in the back of the door and sit. And after the sermon, I will leave and disappear right away because I don't want anyone to know my life. I don't want anyone to know I am in trouble, that my business is in trouble. I say, God, you don't know that it's a blessing to have fellowship. It's a blessing to know people, and people know you, and they can help you, they can pray for you, and things can turn around in that relationship. Amen. Amen. So I notice that a lot of people are deceived by the enemy, by the devil, of this thinking idea that go to church, just sneak in and sneak out and don't know anybody and you will be fine. No, you will not be fine. You will never attain to the abundant life that God has for you if you don't follow the blueprint of God. He is the great engineer. He is the great architect, and he wrote the blueprint for us to follow. And if we follow the Bible, we will see the blessing in our life. Amen. So the Bible talk about really relationship in the church and commitment in unity. Not only that, the church is like a family. In each family, there are parents and kids. So God always ordain or appoint somebody to be the head of each institution, like the government. Each workplace has a manager, a CEO. The same thing in the house. God appoints the dad and the mom to lead the house, not the kids. I never ask my kids, what you like to eat dinner today? Because they're going to say, ice cream. If I ask my small kids, what should we eat for the main dish today? They're going to say, ice cream. So we make a determination what they're going to eat. The same thing in the church. God appoints leader or pastors and elders to help the members to grow until you rise up and grow up to be leaders in the church as well. And that's why it's very important for the leaders in the church, or even parents in the household, need to be good example to the kids. Everyone say good examples. All the parents need to be good example to their kids. Amen. If you have a long face all the time, you worry all the time, you get upset all the time, you complain and whine and nag all the time, your kid's going to grow up nagging, whining, and complaining all the time. They follow your example. Amen. Do you notice that the kids in this church walk like their parents? The way they walk? The way they think, everything the same. Because they follow example of the parents. The same thing, if you go to each church, you're going to see that the characteristic of the member of that church kind of unique. This morning I talked to Pastor Dada. It's interesting, I see each church, that each church, they have their own characteristic because they follow the example of their pastors and their leadership. Is that right? You go to, I mean, sometime when I sit in my office, when a person walk in, he say or she say, I'm a Christian. After I talk for a while, I know right away what church they come from. Because I know kind of characteristic of that church. Have characteristic of their own group because they follow their leader example. The same thing in our church, in a family, every leader, whether what kind of leader, what level of leadership, we need to set good example to people. Amen? We need to watch our life carefully. The house of God is a spiritual house. This is not a political house. Amen? This is not a social club. So we don't vote for leadership by looking at how good looking they are, how rich they are, how high education they are. We are looking for spiritual leader, people who love God and fear God and obey God and have a spiritual life. The leadership in the church is not based on riches, education, or good looking, but based on spiritual foundation. That person needs to love God and live a spiritual life that show good example to other people. Amen. So good leaders in the church need to be good example. But at the same time, members in the church should submit and obey the leaders and join together in unity. Whatever the leader make decision that the Lord leads them, we need to say amen and go together. You may not agree with everything the leaders do. I cannot expect 200 people to agree everything that we do here. But once we make a decision what we do, we say amen, let's move together. Unity. The Bible says that the house that is divided will be destroyed. If a church is full of division, people fight each other, that house will not last and eventually it will be destroyed. And that is the scheme of the enemy. The enemy will try to come in to destroy the house of God through division. Some heartache, some bitterness against each other in the church, and eventually the church will split and get destroyed. Amen. So we need to be careful to be in unity together with the leadership. And whatever we want to do, let's do it together. Let's move together. Even though you may not totally agree with everything. Sometimes you don't agree because you don't know everything. You don't know the Bible enough. And you see whatever the church tried to do and say, oh no, I don't agree with that. But because of the background, you don't know the Bible or the Bible enough. Sometimes you need to put, we call, give the benefit of doubt and say, okay, I trust my leader. It's an issue of trust. I trust that my leader or my pastor is a spiritual man. He fear God. He follow the Bible. I may not understand everything that he is or she is doing, but I trust him and I believe that he's going to lead me to the glory of God and to the perfection of Christ and to the best will of God in this church. It's an issue of trust. Amen. How many people are parents in this room? Raise your hand up. You are parents. Let me ask this question. Do you want your kids to really trust you and listen to you? If you say yes, raise your hand up. If your kids always doubt you, always like question you, why dad? Why dad? Why dad? Why dad? Why mom? You think the house gonna go anywhere? No. That house gonna be full of chaos. Is that right? So the same thing in the church is a family. We need to really trust the leadership. Yes, definitely. If you have questions, you can ask. If you don't understand, you can come to the leadership personally and say, I don't understand this. Why do you do this? And we can explain to you from the biblical point of view. We follow the Bible and follow the Holy Spirit. Let's move together and God gonna bless unity in the church. Actually, the Bible talk about this a lot, about unity and submit to leadership, listen to leadership. Leadership need to be good example. I give you example in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 to 3. This is not my own idea. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Peter was writing this to the pastor and the elders of the local church. That is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing. As God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. I mentioned a few minutes ago that leaders need to be example to the flock. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 12 to 13, now we ask you brothers to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard, in love, because of their work. live in peace with each other. So the Bible exhorts us to love and respect leadership in the church who work hard among you and live in peace together. Amen. So that is the will of God. In Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. You know, when the leader is discouraged, when the leader loses sleep, could not eat because the members give him a hard time, is that going to be a benefit to the church? No. The same thing, the kids in the house. If the kids always rebel against parents, the parents could not sleep, could not work, could not go out, make money, could not live a happy life, then that house is going to be in trouble. The same thing in the church as a family. If we want to see harmony and blessing of the Lord, the favor of the Lord, we need to live together in unity and harmony and listen to one another. Amen. Submit to one another. I submit to you and you submit to me. We submit to one another. I always listen when people come to tell me something wrong. I always willing to change. I listen to you. But at the same time, we need to listen to each other and move together in unity. Amen. Let's make that decision. Amen. And God will be very pleased and smiling in heaven. Not only that, not only about submission, good example, relationship, a family needs financial support. The Bible is so clear that we need to work. Otherwise, we cannot eat. Everyone needs to work. Amen. My wife works too. Actually, she works more than me. She works 24 hours a day. Yes. Husband who go out and work outside will say, oh, you know, I work. No, wife work too at home for the kids. So I appreciate my wife. She work all day long from the morning to go to bed, always cleaning up, doing something, sending the kids, work all day long. We all work in a different function. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. Do I need to explain? Is it straightforward? If you're lazy, you're going to be poor and you have no money to pay bills. You need to work. I have an operation on my wrist many years ago. 10 days later, I went back to perform operation. I'm not going to sit around at home, do nothing with my surgical pain. I don't care surgical pain. I'm going to work. Because if I don't work, I don't eat. Amen. So don't use any reason not to go to work. We need to work. And God created us to work. Amen. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 19, he who works his land will have abundant food. But the one who chases fantasies, just sit there, do nothing. Oh, I will be a rich man one day. I will have a lot of money and just sit in the house and just have fantasy, just dream and dream. The Bible say, will have his fill of poverty. So the Bible is clear. When God created Adam and Eve, God told Adam, take care of the garden. You must work. God make man work. Amen. So a household cannot survive without income. If the husband and wife doesn't work together as a team to make income into the house, they cannot pay for the electric bill. They cannot pay for the gas bill, for water bill, for the mortgage. So they have to work and make income into their family. The same thing with the church. The church cannot function without financial support. Every time I see income come into my office for my paycheck, and when I look at it, I didn't even think about only my own income. I was thinking about the church. I say, praise God, another $1,000 come in, so I can give $100 to the church. I was thinking about the income of the church, and I always pray to God, God, bless my practice. Not that I want people to be sick. More income so that I can give more to the church, so that I can give to help people in the church, so that I can help the poor in the church. I don't just look at only my own benefit, that God give me money, But I want to bless the church. I want to support the local church. Amen. The 10% that I give to the church is the income that God provided for me in my job so that I can feed both my natural family and my spiritual family. Everyone is, as a Christian, we have two responsibilities financially. My own family and the church family. So we give 10% to the local church so that the church can run, the church can pay bills, can buy new equipment. I understand that we're going to move our office out to another place now. We have to move the things out so that we have room, more room for children. And not only that, we plan to do the remodeling of the stage here, plan to move the things around. So we're going to do some improvement in this house, and we pray that we can start another center somewhere in Seattle, maybe North Seattle or somewhere, that we can shift maybe 50 people to North Seattle and start another church out there. But we need to improve the place here. We have been living like this for 10 years in this house, with this stage, and with the same way like this. We want to improve the house of God. And to do all these things, we need finances to do it. Amen. So I appreciate all of your support, financial support. But God is a good God. God is not a stingy God. God is a giver. If you want to compete with God regarding giving, you're going to fail. You're going to lose the battle. If you say, God, I'm going to fight with you about giving, I want to tell you, you're going to lose. You'll never outgive God. You give 10% to God, God give back to you. Abundant blessing. And that's what happened to me and my wife all these years, that we have been giving 10% to the church and we never lack anything in our life. God just keep giving back to us more and more and more. Amen. I have a lot of story to tell you, but I don't want to mention now because of time. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring the whole tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, say the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. One time, my wife said to me, wow, I have to manage my blessing. We have so much food in our house. Before we left for Orlando, we have so much food we cannot eat it all. We have to do something about it. And then my wife say, I have to spend time managing our blessing. We don't even have enough room to keep them. So much blessing because we give 10% to the local church. Because we are faithfully supporting the local church. Amen. That is the promise of God. If you are faithful in tithing, in supporting the church, giving 10% to the church, and don't listen to the devil will say to you like this, how do they spend their money? How the church spend the money? Oh, why don't they use that budget to do these things? I don't like it. I don't like the way they spend. I tell you, that is a lie of the enemy. Yes, the eldership and the church need to be very careful in budgeting and spending money. But it's not about you argue and try to use all this reason and say, I'm not going to give 10% to the local church because the way they use money, I don't like it. I tell you, and you are not fighting against me. You are not sinning against me or against anybody here. You are sinning against God. And you are coming against God. Amen. When I was in the Baptist church in Thailand, I gave 10%. And how they use the money, I need to trust them. Amen. If you cannot even trust that church, you cannot trust that leadership, you should not be in that church anyway. You should go to another church if you cannot trust them. I mean, I speak frankly that you need to just obey the Bible. Just give to God 10%. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Everyone smile. It's a good message, huh? Amen. You're happy? Everyone say, I'm happy. Okay. One last thing that I want to talk about, the family of God. The family of God, not only to be in relationship, not only to raising kids and training young people to serve God and submit to leadership, but the family of God should be the place. And a natural family too. The natural family and the spiritual family should be the place where people can find love and hospitality. God wants us to be the salt of the world. God wants us to be the light of the world. So we need to show hospitality to outsiders. We need to show love to the strangers. We need to welcome the guests who come to our church. We need to show love to them. We are not a clique group that we just hang together. But we need to open our arms and show love to outsiders, to other ministries, to other churches, and to the non-believers, so that people can see God in us. Amen. Our God is a giver. He is a giver. Acts 20:35 say, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So I want the family here to be the place where we can show hospitality to people, where we will show love to the guests of our church, strangers. Last night we had a revival service and we have a few guests from other church. And I lay hand on them more than anyone else in our own church. I just want to bless them. They come from another church. I just bless them, prophesy over them, lay hand on one lady to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I just want to show hospitality and love to the members of another church. Because we want to love people outside the church too. Amen. We're not just here for together. We, as a family of God, as if either natural family or spiritual family, we should show love to outsider. Invite people for dinner. Invite people to join you in vacation. Doing something. Amen. Visiting people. Doing something to show love to the outsider. The Bible say about this a lot. In Romans chapter 12 verse 13, share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Matthew chapter 25 verse 40, the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did it for me. When you show love to people, you show love to Jesus. I want to encourage all of you to show love to the guests who come to our church. If they don't join our church, it's okay. We love them. Amen. Each care group should open up to invite non-believers in to come and eat dinner with you. Show love to them. Amen. Be generous. Be hospitable. Amen. Amen. Today, you may say to some of our guests that, oh, let me feed you lunch. I'll buy the ticket for you. You can eat lunch with us. Amen. Be generous so that the gospel that you preach will be seen in your actions. People will not know Christ even though you preach the gospel to them, but if you don't show love to them, they will not see Christ in you. They will not believe in your gospel. The gospel needs to be both demonstrated and preached at the same time. Amen. Preach it and do it. The gospel is about love. So we need to show love and we need to also preach love. That God died for us and loved us. Amen. The church has the responsibility to preach the gospel. To go out into the lost world. Invite those in and love them and show love to them. Next month will be a good time that we can invite friends to church because of the Easter Sunday. Go out and invite friends. And say, come, our church will love you. And don't worry, you're going to find love in this place. Amen. Show hospitality to them. How many people want Jesus to come back soon? If you want Jesus to come back soon, you need to do this. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony of to all nations. And then the end will come. When the gospel is preached all over the world, then the end will come. Jesus would come back. Amen. We need to show love to outsiders as a family of God. Don't judge anybody. Don't criticize anybody. Don't be like a Pharisee and Sadducee. Keep point finger to people. But just love people. Love them. Amen. Welcome them in and show love to them. Amen. And I want this church to be a family of God. That God bless the church. How many people want this church to be like a family? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we Thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you show us the blueprint of how to build a church and how to live a life on earth here so that we can be your light and salt to the people out there in the world, Father. Lord, help the members of this church to obey your word, to practice what they learn, Father. Lord, and we will pass on this teaching to the next generation. Our kids will learn the word of God, and they will grow up to be strong Christians as well, Lord. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Before we close the service, I'd like to give this opportunity to people to make a decision to become a child of God. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with God. God is our Father. And that's why we call the church as a family. We have Father up there in heaven who takes care of the kids in the church. And he wants all of us to become his children. How we become God's children? By repenting of our sin and accepting Jesus Christ into our heart. I want to encourage all of you today, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, God loves you and God wants you to go to heaven with us. God wants to bless you and give you life and give it more abundantly. And I can be a light testimony to you that after I accepted Jesus Christ in 1981, my life has never been the same. Otherwise, I would not stand here to preach the gospel, because I know God is so real. And I know God can do the same thing to you as he has done for me. But we need to personally invite him to come in. He's a gentleman. He will never force anybody. I want to encourage you to really invite Jesus to come into your life and say, God, I need you. I am a sinner. I make mistake, and I want you to forgive me. I know you died for me. You sent your son Jesus Christ to die for me, and I want you to come into my life right now. I want to become a child of God today. How many people want to become a child of God? How many people say, I want to go to heaven? If you want to do so, pray with me right now and ask God to come in. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I admit, Lord, I'm not perfect. I have sinned against you. But you love me so much, Lord. You died for me on the cross. Jesus, come into my life right now. I invite you to sit on the throne of my life. I turn away from my sin and give my life to you. Come in right now, Lord. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus was raised from the dead and he is my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Let's give the mighty hand of praises to the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many people have been blessed by being in the house of God? Raise your hand up. I'd like to pray for you. Lift up our hand toward the Lord. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, that you will bless your people in this house. Lord, I pray that victory will come to their life. Lord, I pray that, Lord, there will be the head, not the tail. There will, Lord, be on the top, not at the bottom. You will bless them financially, physically, mentally, spiritually. Everything they touch will prosper, Father. Lord, we pray that you give them wisdom. You give them joy. You give them strength to go through life in victory. Father, the presence of God will be in their life, in their home, in their family. Bless them indeed, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Yes. I have a microphone.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042. 1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.